Regulation, expectation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. This week, President Obama plans to unveil new rules for financial industry regulations. His administration's already releasing some details of what's to come. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner and Obama's chief economic advisor Larry Summers unveiled an outline of the restructuring plan today in an op-ed piece in the Washington Post. Marketplace's Steve Henn is with us live from Washington to talk about the regulatory road ahead. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
So what's the goal here?
Well, they're trying to answer this question. What should regulators do with banks and insurance companies that are deemed too big or interconnected to fail? You know, bailing them out obviously isn't a long-term answer. So this plan gives the Fed new powers to oversee these huge firms and the ability to unwind them or take them apart if they begin to collapse. The idea is to recreate on a larger scale what the FDIC has done for the banking industry for years.
But size was only part of the problem, right, Steve? What about derivatives and toxic assets such as mortgage-backed securities?
Well, that's right. This plan would also regulate derivatives like credit default swaps and derivative traders and try to make them more transparent and make sure that if you're selling a credit default swap like AIG was, you actually set money aside to pay off that basically insurance policy if the bond you're insuring defaults. The plan also will require firms that create or sell mortgage-backed securities or bundles of credit card debt to invest some of their own money in these assets. So the idea here is to try and force firms to be a little bit more cautious and conservative with the types of investments they create and sell.
So what's coming up next?
Well, later this morning, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is going to appear in New York at a Time magazine event, and he'll be taking questions about this plan. On Wednesday, President Obama is expected to formally unveil the details. And then on Thursday, Geithner will be back before Congress making the administration's case for the plan to lawmakers.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thanks.
Sure thing.
I appreciate it. Let's check Wall Street. On Friday, the Dow closed at 87.99, positive territory for the S&P as well, up 0.1%, both up slightly for the week. Things are in the red in Europe this morning. Stocks are down across the board right now. Shares in Asia closed mostly lower. The Nikkei and Hang Seng both had losses there. Dollars on the rise after Russia's finance minister, ahead of the BRIC conference, BRIC standing for Brazil, Russia, India, and China, said over the weekend that the greenback status as the world's main reserve currency isn't likely to change anytime soon. Apple has been a busy little technological fruit lately. Just in the past week, it unveiled a faster iPhone, some amped-up laptops, and it also cut the price of some of its merchandise. If you're an Apple user, it's no surprise that Apple likes to surprise people with those kinds of announcements, but it can make for some frustrated customers. Here's Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith.
My colleague Brendan hasn't bought a new computer in 6 years, so he was very excited when his new MacBook came.
It arrived on Friday. Beautiful aluminum-bodied laptop. And then Monday, come to work, reading the news, and they just changed the price points on like all of their products. And so I was kind of bummed.
Brendan's new computer now cost about $400 less than the week before. So he got on the phone, along with hundreds of other people.
Welcome to Apple. Due to higher than expected phone volumes, you may experience longer than expected hold times.
Yankee Group analyst Josh Martin says Apple cultivates mystery around its new products to create buzz, so consumers like Brendan never know the right time to buy.
Apple's toting the line between releasing innovative products and enticing consumers, but also frustrating them at the same time.
Martin says all the calls and returns are costly for Apple, but the hype is worth it. Brendan was on hold for more than an hour, but he got Apple to refund the difference. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter. People are talking about business and the economy at Gather.com.
Later today, we get the National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index. It's a gauge of confidence among builders nationwide. And some people, such as Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan, think it can be a wee bit too optimistic. He joins us now to talk housing and where he thinks the market is. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Steve.
So what do you mean optimistic?
Well, home builders are by their nature optimistic because they're building homes and they want people to buy them. And their motto, I've covered real estate forever, is it's a great day to buy a new home. So what matters is not so much the number of the index, but is the number higher or lower than it's been in previous months or in the month a year ago? That's a much better way to look at it than just to look at the number itself, which doesn't tell you very much.
So, Alan, are any of the other housing indicators giving us a clear idea of what the market's like?
Well, it's mixed, okay? Mortgage rates are up, which is generally not a good thing for the housing market. Loan applications are down, which probably has something to do with interest rates rising. And then there's foreclosures, which, depending on whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, are either up or down. So I would say the numbers are mixed, but there's obviously a lot of foreclosures and a lot of stuff yet to come.
So who wins or loses then in this environment?
Well, it depends. If you're a first-time home buyer, you're clearly winning because you get to buy things cheap at still a relatively low mortgage with maybe an $8,000 credit. If you're trying to sell an expensive house and move into a cheaper one, well, you're probably a loser because you're not going to get anywhere near as much for the expensive house as you thought you might get. And if you're changing homes, you know, because your family is bigger, you're moving or something like that, then you're probably breaking even because you'll get less when you sell, but you'll pay less when you buy. So in other words, it all depends.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.